Good morning, everyone. We are about to begin learning Shemona Esrei. But before we delve into the details, the brachos, and the specifics, it will be worthwhile to take a step back and look at the overall structure of Shemona Esrei to get a better appreciation of what we're saying. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah that before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, before Ezra, there was a Torah obligation to daven b'chol yom. As the Torah says, Vavatem es Hashem Elokechem, you have to serve Hashem. And the way we know that service of Hashem is referring to tefillah, it's because the Torah says, L'avdo b'chol v'avchem, and the avodah shebelev is tefillah. Now, when a person recited tefillah every single day, there was no specific nusach, there was no specific time. It had to be done within the day, but not at a specific time in the day. And a person could say it for as many times or as little times as he wants. However, the Rambam notes that even though there wasn't a specific time or structure, there was a framework or formula that had to be constructed when fulfilling this mitzvah. And he writes in the second halacha of Parak Alpha of Hilchos Tefillah, the chi of mitzvah zu kachu, the way one fulfills this obligation is the following. She'adam mispalul mischanin b'chol yom, a person davens and supplicates himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. U'magid shvachol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, he relates shvach to Hashem, praise to Hashem. V'achkach shol tzrachav, then he asks the things that he needs. Should sarch lahem bevakash uvatchina, and say it in a way of beseeching and in supplication. Ve'achkach nosin shvach boda l'Hashem al tova shishpialo. And afterwards, then one recites again more shvach, and he adds as well hoda, acknowledgement over the things that Hashem has done for him. Ko'acha ve'acha kvicha kocha, according to each person's ability and experiences. So for the Rambam, there's this overall structure, even though the details aren't specific, of number one, starting off with Shvach, then moving on to Bakasha and She'ila, and then finishing off with more Shvach and then Hodah. The source of this requirement is found in the Gemara in Berachos Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Samloi was Dorish a Pasuk, and he made the following conclusion, that person should L'olam Yisader Adam Shvachah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'achkach Yisbalo. A person should always, meaning seemingly even before the formal obligation of davening, a person should always be saying Shvach to Hashem and then davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do we know that? It's from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the Torah, writes, V'eschanan al Hashem ve'isahi, Moshe daven to Hashem. And how do you do it? Moshe relates. He first said Shvach. He says, Moshe says, Atachilosa larosis abdacha esgadlcha ve'esedcha nechazaka. You showed to your servant your greatness, your strong hand, who is the Asher Miel Bat Shemayim Ba'arz Asher Esek Ma'asecha V'chum, who is the God in the heavens and the earth, can do like you in your strength. And then Moshe begins with the She'ila, Evra Na Ba'arz Aretz Atova. Moshe asks to pass into Eretz Yisrael. So from here we see that there's a responsibility to have first Shvach, and then Tefillah in one's davening, and this is seemingly a way one is Mekayim the Mitzvah Min HaTorah B'Shlei Musa. Now it's interesting, the Rambam is seemingly coming from this Gemara, but he adds an extra step. After one says Shvach and then She'ila and Bakasha, one then has to have a third step for the Rambam, and that's more Shvach and Hodah on the past that Hashem has, on what Hashem has given to him. And the question is, where is that found in the Gemara? It's seemingly not quoted in the Gemara at all. The Or Sameach on that Rambam quotes that the Rambam is coming from a different source, from a Sifrei in Parshas Mezos HaBracha, where Moshe Rabbeinu actually says praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then asks the brachos and the things that Bnei Yisrael need, and then he finishes off with further shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And while the language of the Sifrei mentions shvach shamakom, the Tosafta in Menachos in the sixth parak notes that the three pieces of the formula are halal, v'shvach, u'tfila. Halal is the praise, the general praise to Hashem in the beginning of davening, then the tfila is the actual requests, and then at the end you have Shvach, which is further, which is in the Or Sameach's explanation, further Shvach and also Hodah on the past that Hashem has given to him. Seemingly, even though Hodah is not explicitly mentioned, it seems like, for at least the Rambam, it seems like an obvious point that is included in the Shvach at the end of one's tefillah. The Rambam notes that even after the nature of tefillah changed, after the times of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah and in the days of Ezra, this format has still been kept. He writes in Halacha Dalet in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah that after Bnei Yisrael were in the Galus, they weren't able to fully express praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a clear way because of the Bilbul HaLashonos. And because of that, Chazal made a takana to basically codify and structure how one should be initiating davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the structure is Shmona Esrei. The first three brachos, the Rambam says, are Shvach Hashem. The last three brachos are Hodah. And the middle category, the middle set of brachos, are She'ila, for all the different needs that a person would need in his life. And he could extrapolate from them and expand from those categories as necessary. So again, for the Rambam, it seems to be that even though we now have a more formalized system of tefillah, we're still maintaining this original three-prong test requirement of Shvach, She'ila Bakasha, and then Hodah at the end. Arguably, the Rambam's formulation of Shvach, Bakasha, and Hodah comes from this later Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph, which again makes this three-category split, where the Gemara says one should only ask for Shvachav in the middle Brachos, not the first three or the last three. And the Gemara compares it to an Eved. In the beginning, an Eved is Mesader Shvach before his master. Then he asks for things, and then he takes what the thing that he asked for and recognizes that gift from the master and then leaves. Potentially, this might be the three categories that the Rambam has been mentioning of Shvach, Bakasha, and Hodah, which is Hodah L'Sha'avar, on the fact that Hashem was Mashpiat to him in the past. And that's those three categories that we're mentioning right now. Now, the question really is, why do we exactly need to have this structure? Now, we know it from Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a mashal from an Eved, but what does it enhance? How does it enhance our tefillah experience? A way to approach this question is by looking at another Gemara in Avodah Zarah of Zayin Mabez. There, the Gemara already assumes that we're saying Shmona Esrei, and the Gemara still has a discussion of when should a person recite his personal needs in this tefillah process. There are three opinions in the Gemara. The first opinion is quoted in the Gemara is that of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a person should, even before davening, Shmona Esrei should first request his own needs, as the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Tefillah la'ani kiyatov b'fnei Hashem yishpoch sicho." A person should daven like an ani and supplicate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he should be shofech sicho, which is tefillah itself. So a person should first ask for things and then praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the process of tefillah. Second opinion is Rabbi Yeshua, who says a person should actually recite all of Shmona Esrei, yispavel, say all of Shmona Esrei, and then he should be yishal tzrachav, he should then ask for his personal needs, as the pasuk, another place in Tehillim says, "Esh b'chalfanav sichi, tzrasi l'fanav agit." First, I'll say sichi, which is tefillah, and then I'll express my tzaros, my needs. And the Gemara goes back and forth about the different pesukim, how to read them. The Gemara ultimately explains that the machlokes might be dependent on the comment of Reb Simla that we mentioned earlier, that we derive from Moshe Rabbeinu that a person should first be say shvach to Hashem and then tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua says we should derive the way we should ask personally, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first saying Shvach, and then requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu his needs. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. He was a Rav Gavrei. As Rashi explains, he was a gadol, he has great Maisim, he has a lot of Chachma, and therefore the Shvach was appropriate to be saying first. From this Rashi, it sounds that we get an inside peek of what is the Machlokes really dependent on. Rabbi Elazar seems to be saying that maybe saying Shvach is appropriate for a person who is genuinely has this close relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Shvach is appropriate before one asks things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, for the general masses, people who don't have that close connection, if a person first extols someone and then asks them for something, the extolling and the praising is just a means to get what he wants, and it looks like, in the language of Rashi, like you, Hara, like you're just trying to show that you're great, that you're a great person, but it's not really what is actually being intended for. However, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who argues that we should follow and be like Moshe Rabbeinu, is interesting because the point of Rabbi Elazar's argument seems to be a very valid point. Shouldn't we be concerned that it's almost like a farce to be saying Shvachos before one asks for things? One should first ask and then recognize Hashem through that process. The Mabit in the Beis Elokim and really beforehand, the Rashba in his Chiddush HaGadlus in Brachos Lamed Beis, Amad Beis discuss this point, and they explain that while Rabbi Elazar has a very valid point, the other opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, weighs more gravity and import in our own personal expression of tefillah. And they explained that if a person were to just ask for things and then say shvach, he wouldn't be able to properly gain from the experience of bakasha. When one first says praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have this recognition of who Hashem is, then the bakashas aren't just asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things. They are transformed into a process where one is using the bakashas as a means to more clearly and more overtly recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in his life, that he's the only one who could answer these tefillos, and that actually impacts one's bakasha, not just being a selfish endeavor per se, but being a means to actually develop the relationship that is being created in this process of tefillah. And the Rashi says that's why we have really these three brachos in the beginning, to ingrain within us that idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate being who can answer our tefillos. The first bracha is about Chaste Avos. Hashem gave us so much, and it's not because of us. The second bracha, we recognize that Hashem can even do Mechayim Mesim, Tchias Mesim. He's in total control over reality. And the third bracha, we acknowledge that even the angels are subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the more so we are subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we're going to Him. Lahalacha, however, even though Rabbi Yeshua has also a valid point, the Gemara concludes that the Chachamim argued that one should only really recite his Srachav in Shomea Tevila. And the Meiri explains, based off the Yerushalmi, Shomea Tevila, as we'll develop later on, is almost like a catch-all Tevila, in the sense that while Rabbi Yeshua in theory is correct, that one should first say Shvachos and then She'elos, and these She'elos are more standard. And then after fulfilling that structure, one does his own personal tefillos. Chazal, in the structure of Shemona Esrei itself, have made space for one's own individual needs, and that's in the bracha of Shemaya Tefillah. But again, it seems to be the Chachamim are fundamentally agreeing to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that Shvach should come before She'elah, because it enhances the She'elah and reframes one's requests that are made before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. While the overall structure of Shemona Esrei is Shvach, Bakasha, and Hodah, within that structure, it seems to be that Chazal are fixated on the number 18 as being the number of brachos that are required in this process. The source of this requirement is found in the Mishnah Brachos Chavchas Mabez, where Rabbi Gamliel said, every day, person should daven Shemona Esrei. Person should daven Shemona Esrei brachos. And the Gemara asks there, why did Chazal decide to have 18 brachos? The Gemara gives three different answers. One answer is it's keneged the 18 times we mentioned Hashem's name in Tehillim Perek Chavtes, about Hashem's power. The second answer, that of Rabbi Yosef, says it's keneged the 18 times there's the Shem Hashem mentioned in Kriya Shema. And the third is a quotation of Rabbi Tamchum in the name of Rabbi Shubin Levi, who says it's corresponding to the 18 vertebrae in one's spine. And the Gemara then says we had a 19th bracha added, and the Gemara then explains if you say the opinion is because of we have 18 because of Tehillim Chavtes, you find another pasuk in Tehillim Chavtes about Kel HaKavod Hirim, which is a mention of Hashem. If you see the reason is because of Shema, the word Echad is an additional mention of Hashem's name. And Reb Tanchum, if you say the issue is because of the spine, there's a small little bone, which is insignificant, but we're going to consider it again in this count, which is at the bottom of the spine. And that's also included in the 19. So the Gemara seems to be saying that there's three different ideas that we're thinking about when we're trying to formulate the idea of Shemona Esrei. Either it's mention of just Hashem's power, and we're recognizing that. Another aspect is that we're connecting it to Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. Again, an idea that we've developed previously. Or third answer, we're connecting it to the spine, seemingly a reference to the bowing of the spine, submitting ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the process of tefillah in its totality. There are all the processes we're doing, we're submitting ourselves and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. And that's what we're doing through the process of tefillah. Now, while the Gemara gives these different answers, other Rishonim have different sources. For other calculations, some say it's keneged the 18 times you mentioned the Avos in the Torah. That's the Hasidi Ashkenaz, where they mentioned that point. The Rabbeinu Yonah notes, maybe it's keneged the, and this is accorded by the Baal Turim, that there's 18 times it says the word Kasher Tziva Hashem by the building of the Mishkan, potentially connecting the idea of tefillah and karbanos together as they go hand in hand. Now, while we have a source that there has to be 18 different brachos within Shemona Esrei, the specific types of brachos that are said, avos, gevuros, kedusha, the question really is, where do they come from? Some mefarshim, such as the Shivbei Halakha quoted in the Beis Yosef in Siman Kuf Beis in Or Chaim, explains that the source of saying all these different types of brachos are from historical accounts, and after each account, the people of that generation created a bracha to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those events. And at the end, Chazal collaborated and compiled all those different brachos together. So like, for example, when Avram was saved from Merkastim, the Malach HaSharis said Magen Avram. When Yitzchak was Nekar Al Gavim Mizbeach, the angel said Mechaya Mesim. And if Chul Yaakov reached Shari Rachamim, then they said HaKel HaKadosh. And the list goes on and on until there were 18 different events where the Malach HaSharis created a tefillah in response to a certain event. And those different events are the categories that we find in Shemona Esrei. Refersh develops a different answer to this specific question, but in reality, he has an essay in his collected writings and its reference to his comments on Chorev and on the Siddur, where he develops an entire structure of tefillah, and it's a general great background piece to appreciate to get a general sense of what tefillah is trying to accomplish and what's the general structure of our Shemona Esrei. And he bases off a premise that when the Gemara says tefillos b'makom karban, it's not just a correlation, a connection, but an essential feature of tefillah. The Gemara has almost two conflicting sources of why do we have the takana of tefillos. One explanation is because the avos were misakin it. Another explanation the Gemara gives in a different place is because it's connected to different zmanei karban. Tamei shel shachris, tamei shel ben arbayim, the haktaras and murma, referring to different times when one davens. The Rambam seems to understand that the formula of tefillah itself was already instituted by the Avos. He says that in Hilchos Malachim, but he says explicitly that Chazal instituted the timing for tefillah to be corresponding to the timing of Karbanos. It seems to be for the Rambam, and this might be Shitas to his understanding of tefillah in general, tefillah is avoda, has nothing to do with Karbanos per se, it's just the general idea of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not necessarily connected to Avodas HaKarbanos. However, the Tur, as we mentioned earlier, explains that if you look at tefillah, it's modeled after so many different aspects of the Avodah B'Shem Mikdash, of the Avodas HaKarbanos. We stand like the Kohen. We have to wear clothing that are appropriate like the Kohen. We have to have Kavanah that is appropriate the same way one is offering a Karban. For the Tur, it seems to be that there's not just a connection to Karbanos in the sense of Zmani tefillah, but in an essential feature of tefillah is that tefillah is actually like you're offering a karban. And the first says, even further than the Torah, that the actual structure of Shemona Esrei was based off the Avodas HaKarban of the Karban Tamid. In his words, tefillah is a concretization of the process of Hakravas HaTamid through the words that we're saying. And this is exactly the point, that tefillah is not necessarily in the place of a karban per se, but tefillah actually accompanies the karban process. As we mentioned, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol were the ones who established tefillah. And they were around during the Bayashini when the Karbanos were existent. It was even said during the times of when they were actually offering the Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Indicative of the fact that the tefillah is a supplement and not necessarily a substitute per se of Karbanos. So at first, with that assumption, explains, if you go through the process of offering the Tamid, you'll find that it parallels the process and structure of our Shemona Esrei. And he begins that there are three general sections to the offering of the Tamid. The first part is the Zrikas Adam, which includes shechting the animal, Kabbalas Adam, receiving the blood, bringing the blood to the Mizbech, and then sprinkling it on the Mizbech itself. The second part is the burning of the Emurim, and there was a process in which limbs were offered on the Mizbech, and that order is going to reflect how the structure of Tfilas Shemona Esrei is also created. And the last aspect of the Karban Tamid is the libations, the Mincha offering, and the Nisuch Hayayin offering. And those are corresponding to the last three brachos of Shemona Esrei. So Refersh explains that the idea of Zrikas Adam, the first aspect of the Karban Tamid, is the idea symbolizing one's offering of oneself. The Dam is what gives one life. And it's in the Torah's language, it's the soul of the person. It gives life to the person. So one is offering from the get-go, he's offering himself onto the Mizbech, which represents one's devotion and ascension to fulfilling the Eish Das, the fire of Torah, that's represented by the Eish of the Mizbeach, which is basically the Ratzon Hashem, and that's our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say brachos, these first three brachos, and as Rav Hirsch explains, where bracha means to pledge to ourselves to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, we are pledging our soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what those first three brachos represent. Rav Hirsch explains that the emphasis of this section is really all about Zrika. And now while that's only one avoda, Chazal found and expanded on this idea in three different brachos. And Rav Hirsch explains that correlates to the three different sprinklings one does in the avodas HaKarban Tamid. The first sprinkling is done on the northeast corner, which represents the sun rising. And that corresponds to Brichas Avos, where we recognize the Bechiras Avos, Hashem raising Bnei Yisrael up and taking care of them throughout their history. The second sprinkling is done on the southwest corner, which is at the noontime when the sun is setting, and that represents Gvura, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpil on humanity in recognition of Hashem's greatness. And the last section, the last sprinkling, is on the Yisod, on the base of the Mizbeach, and that's not really dependent on any direction of where the sun is, rising or setting, and that represents Kedusha, which means there's a transcendent point, a point where we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have that total commitment to Him, irrespective of anything that happens in our lives. We have that's the expression of Kedusha, where everything is really submitting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not connected to any condition. After we do Zrika, we then move to the second section, or second aspect of the Karban Tamid, which is the Haktar Simurim, burning of the limbs. And this represents the Brachos HaMetzayos, the middle Brachos. Symbolically, when one burns the Emurim, we're effectively offering all the different organs that represent our minds, our thought process, our physical organs, and we're all bringing that, again, to the Eish Das, the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nurturing all that of ourselves to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem in our lives. And this basically is a manifestation of the Zrikas Adam, of giving over our own blood, our own self, consecrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Hirsch notes, that is the emphasis why after each bracha we conclude with the word Baruch, because in his language, Baruch makes the tefillah into a karban, where what we pledge to use in recognition of Hashem's control and power over our needs, we then pledge to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem more with that recognition. And the Mishnayos and Tamid explain that the process of burning the Emurim is actually complicated. There are many different opinions of what the order is. The normative opinion, Rav Hirsch explains, correlates to our understanding of Shemona Esrei. And he explains that there are six steps to the burning of the Emurim. And those correlate precisely to the 12 brachos we say in Shemona Esrei. The first step in the Haktar Simurim is offering the head of the animal, the fat of the animal, the right leg with the shtei beitzim. And Rav Hirsch explains this symbolism is reflective of Das, the head, but not just Das for the sake of intellectual thought, but thought that actually affects one's physical body. That's reflective of the chalavim, and that's also reflective of the right leg, one's actions, and the shtei beitzim, which is representative of drive, and that's reflected in the psukim, or the statements of Dei Abina v'Haskel, where we ask for intellect, but not just intellect for the sake of it, but something that we could apply in our lives. The second process is reflective of the next bracha, where we offer two forelegs of the animal. And Rav Hirsch explains that the two forelegs of the animal guide where the animal goes. And that is correlative to tshuva, in the sense that we now have to guide our lives. And that's what tshuva does. Tshuva reorients our position so we could move forward in serving Hashem. Third aspect of the step of the Haktar Simurim is offering the ends of the animal, the bottom of the animal, the two sides of the flanks of the animal, the tail, the etzba hakave, the finger of the liver, the two kidneys, and the left leg. And Rav Hirsch explained that this represents slicha. We're offering in this context the negative aspects of the animal that are symbolized in these emurim. The kidneys are the representative of the emotions. The kaved in the literature of Chazal represents kas, which is the idea of anger. The left leg represents the not positive aspects of one's personality, and those are also being offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reflective of slicha. After talking about Dea, Tshuva, and Slicha, Rav Hirsch explains we now move in to three groups of threes in the next brachos. The first group of threes is going to be the rest of the process of Haktar Simurim, the next three steps, and those represent the Yachids, the individual's fulfillment or manifestation of what is symbolized by the Imurim. The next three represent the community, the Tzibur's idea or manifestation of what these Imurim represent. And the third set of threes represents the representation of certain images which highlight the Tzibur's manifestation of these Imurim being represented in that process. So we'll go through it now and we'll explain what we mean in this context. So the fourth step of burning the Imurim is offering the chest, the throat, the sides of the throat, the windpipe, the heart, and the lungs. And it first explains this represents the organs that give life, the condition to life is being able to breathe, having the blood pump, and this represents Geula in the sense that Geula is the baseline, the necessary requirement for any development, for any healing, or for further growth. And that's represented by Geula, and this is the Yachid's manifestation of that aspect of Haktaras Imurim. The fifth step of Haktaras Imurim is burning the flanks with the liver and the spleen. And first it notes that in medical records, one notices that there's a illness that's affecting the entire body, the liver and spleen will also be affected. If it's not affecting the liver and spleen, you can argue that it's a localized illness, it's not going to affect the entire body. This is correlative to refuah, and we ask in this bracha for the individual's refuah if there is a need for that. The sixth and final step of the Haktaras Imurim is burning of the innards, the things that produce, that help with the digestion process. And this obviously is correlated to parnasa. One needs food to live, and parnasa is the way one attains those aspects of getting food and being able to survive and live. So the last three of Geula, Refuah, and Parnasa are then repeated and reflected from a Yachid context to now a Tzibur context. So the next bracha then is the national Geula of Kibbutz Galios. That's reflective again of the Haktaras of the chest, throat, sides, windpipes, head, and heart, and lungs, which are necessary for the baseline status of Klal Yisrael of Tzibur, the gathering of the exiles. The next bracha is about Hashiva Shoftein, or the justice should be returned. This is representative of the national refuah. After we have everyone together, we now want to invoke the law and have the law be a part of everyone's life. And this is included in the next bracha of Amashinim, removing the evildoers who don't follow the law, that they're included as well in this categorization of the national refuah. The next bracha is representative of this last aspect of Haktaras Imurim, the idea of burning the innards, the idea of a national parnasa, reflective, mirroring the individual's parnasa, and that's the bracha of Alat Tzedikim, because we want to develop and nurture the good parts of the nation. Those are the Tzedikim that we want to not only have them recover from the law, but have them being able to develop the law and have it have an effect on the rest of the nation. So after this categorization of three, we now move to the final set of threes, which is the individual representations of the communal's refuah and geula and parnasa. So the first set of in this category grouping is Yerushalayim. We ask for Yerushalayim to be built, and this is the way one facilitates the Kibbutz Galus by having a central capital that enabling the national geula to occur. The next bracha is establishing David's kingdom. We're going to be representing the Mishpat Hashem, the law of Hashem. That's going to enhance the national refuah of the nation. And the final bracha is Shema Kolenu, which is almost the summation of those last two brachos, where we say that we want the nation to develop all of these things that we've been davening for. We've been davening for the Geula, davening for Kibbutz Galios, and the Mishpat Hashem. They should be focused on for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for one individual goal or purpose, but only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that enhances the national parnasa and development and nurturing of the nation. And this concludes the second section of Shemona Esrei and the second section of the process of Hakravas HaTamid, which is the Haktaras Imurim. Now moving to the third section of the process of offering the Tamid, we offer Minchas and Nesachim. Now, while the Iker aspect of this section is all about offering thanks, as the Rambam mentions about Hodah, and that's really emphasized by Modim, the two other brachos of Ritzei and Sim Shalom really are part of the conclusion of the Avodah, and they're bunched together with this aspect of Shvach and Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Mikdash, we're first explaining, based off the Gemara brachos, when the Avodah was completed, which is the Haktaras Imurim, the Tzibur would actually recite Ritzei, which is the next bracha in Shemona Esrei, where we ask Hashem to accept the avodah that we just davened for. We want it to be accepted and recognized by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Following that tefillah, we then move to the ikar aspect of the section, which is hodah, and that's representative of mincha and nesachim. Mincha, Rashi explains, is a tribute of hodah, recognizing the debt one has over someone else. As you find in Tanakh, all these menachos are tributes, recognizing a debt either of gratitude or subservience to the other entity. Nesachim, Rashi explains, these libations of wine are actually a response to the episode of the Meraglim. The Meraglim did not think Hashem had control over their fate. That's why they were afraid, that they wouldn't be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now, after Hashem says Meraglim made a mistake and he's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, we now realize that all of our lives, not just the necessary parts, but every aspect of our lives, is ultimately guided by Kosh Baruch Hu. He gives us the goral of our lives, the lot of our lives, and we have to recognize that those aspects of our lives which are given to us are means for service of Kosh Baruch Hu, and we have to recognize where they came from. And that's where we say modim. We recognize and the debt and the blessings that Hashem has given us, and hope to further recognize, serve Hashem through all the good that He's given us. And that again is reflective of the mincha and nesachim. The final bracha is Sim Shalom, which was actually recited also in the Beis HaMikdash after Ritzei. In this context, we're saying Sim Shalom at the end because one can only really appreciate Shalom, which is not just peace, but harmony of the different aspects of both the brachas that we said and all the hodah that we recognized. One has to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end for being able to harmonize and recognize where each aspect of one's life should fit into. And that's the bracha of Sim Shalom. So for first, the structure of tefillah is modeled very much to the structure of the Hakaravas HaTamid. We have Zrigas HaDam, Hakaravas HaKaravas HaMurim, and Mincha of Nisuch HaMayim, going, following through, and that's the structure of Shvach, Bakasha, and Hodah. This follows very nicely to the idea that one should not be reciting personal requests throughout the davening. One should only be reciting in specific locations. This idea emphasizes that Chazal gave us a specific text, basically to prescribe to us what to focus on, and those aspects enable us to better internalize the representation of the Karban Tamid and really prepare us for a service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its totality. Obviously, there's a place for personal bakashos and Shema Kolino and after davening, but the structure of Tefillah itself, of Shemona Esrei, has a specific tension, a specific goal in mind, and that focus should be maintained in light of the structure that we're discussing now. Just as an aside, the fact that there is a structure to davening is not exactly accepted by all Mefarshim. The Gemara says in Brachos that Ein Emtsayim Seder, the middle Brachos don't have a Seder. And the Rishonim grapple with this point because the Gemara in Megillah notes that Shimon HaPakuli, one of the Tanaim, early Tanaim, actually was Masader, the order of Shmona Esrei, which sounds like that there's an eco. There has to be a specific order in how one davens. So the Gemara there says that while Anshei Knesset HaGadola did establish Shmona Esrei, we forgot, the Gemara's lashon is nishkachu, they forgot the order. The Chazav Yisodim, and they went back and they reorganized and reinstituted Shmona Esrei, and that was with Shimon HaPakuli, who came after the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. And it's a little strange because if it's something that you say every single day, why would the order be switched? The Ritva there explains in a comment of the Haggah, notes that it wasn't really they forgot Shmona Esrei, but there really wasn't an order instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Only later did Shimon HaPakuli come and create a specific order, and we'll discuss that order as we go through the Shmona Esrei. But if you take the explanation of Rav Hirsch, who says that the order is based off the Hakaravas HaTamid and the Haktaras HaMurim, Rav Hirsch notes that the exact order of the Hakaravas HaMurim was actually a big machlokas. And because of that, the order was, which was reflected by the Shmona Esrei itself, was not clear as well. Only after Shimon HaPakuli comes and gives us an order, we now can look back and say this was the actual way that Hakaravas HaTamid was offered, and that is reflected in the way that the actual Shmona Esrei structured. In Halacha, Mefarshim discuss that if one makes a mistake, because of the concept of Ein Emtsayim Seder, there might be some leeway about one forgetting which a specific bracha where he could actually start from the place where he forgot, not start from the beginning of that section, as we find if one forgets, unlike where we find if one forgets in the first three brachos, one has to start from the entire Shemoneh Esrei in general. Just one concluding point about the idea of Shemoneh Esrei, the idea of the Avodah Shebalev, the Rambam emphasizes in the end of his Mor Nevuchim, in the third chelek in Perek Nun Aleph, that because Tefillah and Torah is all about Avodah, Avodah is not just in the act itself of Tefillah and Avodah, but it's supposed to give you and develop you to become a person whose entire life is focused on Avodah Hashem. And he explains it's a slow progress. A person should first focus on Kriya Shema and the first bracha, the first bracha pasuk of Kriya Shema and the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And as one develops himself and has more ability to focus, this will hopefully purify the person and ultimately, Sof Tavar Tasimach Shvosecha B'mili De'alma, you will then be able to spill over that avodah to the rest of your life. When you eat, when you drink, when you're in the bathhouse, when you're speaking with your wife and kids, when you're speaking with other people, any other time that you're not doing specific avodah, that itself will become part of the avodah Hashem. And that's the focus of having a Kadosh Baruch Hu ever present in one's mind. And that's the avodah Hashem that we're trying to inculcate in ourselves through the process of tefillah, through Kriya Shema, through learning Torah, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives on a constant basis. And with that, we could begin our process of Shemoneh Esrei, being able, hopefully, to develop a deep awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully having that structure impact us in a way that will spill over to the rest of our lives.